Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week. Well, it's been a pretty full week here, too. I have spent most of this week with Neil Willis of Hypersign, working on taking the Hypersign, Hypersign Alert, and KidGopher platforms out to see a bunch of local schools. You might hear some of that later. But it's been a little bit busy, and I'm a couple of days late in getting this to you. But it's going to be a good show. Later on in the show, I'll be talking to Neil about some work he's doing in Africa and some of the things that AV companies can do to give back to the environment that we work in. Anyway, we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a truly innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about a signage solution that's both easy and cost-effective to implement at www.hypersign.com. The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound. Atlas makes an enormous variety of products for all the parts of our industry, and you can find out more about them at www.atlassound.com. Also, while you're on Rave Radio, take a listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here, on The Week, we're going to try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we're going to try to bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects that are important to our industry. But first, let's talk about the news in AV. Integrated Systems Events will mount its Smart Building Conference in London on Tuesday, October 15th. The Smart Building Conference generated a buzz during its January 2013 debut in Amsterdam. The conference is a joint venture of Integrated Systems Events not-for-profit association owners, Cedia and Infocom. Mike Blackman, Managing Director of Integrated Event Systems, notes, "After extensive period of industry consultation, we're convinced that smart buildings represent a fantastic opportunity for the professional AV and electronic systems integration industry." While the inaugural Smart Building Conference had an international flavor, the London event is being given a more local focus, with speakers encouraged to present case studies, market research data, and keynote addresses inspired by trends in the UK market. Topics will include building automation, energy management, security and access control, IT facilities integration, HVAC and lighting control, and a whole lot more. The event will be emceed by Bob Snyder, editor-in-chief of Channel Media Europe and Rave Europe, reprising the role he performed at the widely praised Amsterdam event. For more information on smart buildings, their relevance to our industry, and the conference, visit http://www.smartbuildingconference.com. And, as you know, Infocom 2013 was held last month in Orlando, Florida, and it was the best-attended Infocom ever. But attendance aside, the amount of new technology and product innovation still has our minds reeling. When it came to picking winners for the Infocom Awards, we had an embarrassment of riches. The Christie DK3560 was named Infocom 2013 Best Overall New Product. The Christie DK3560 is a 35,000 lumen native 4K resolution projector. It's the only projector that can handle 4K resolution currently at 60 Hz. You can spec the projector at www.christiedigital.com and read about all the other Infocom 2013 award winners at www.ravepubs.com. 2013 Best of Infocom Awards. Also, Sharp presents the LLS201A Multi-Touch, a 20-inch multi-purpose LCD panel. It can be mounted in tables when flat, attached to lecterns when angled at 75 degrees, and used at digital signage kiosk when positioned vertically. Most impressive in terms of multi-use, the panel can be used as a second computer monitor that's touchscreen interactive. The 1920 by 1080 resolution LED has an edge-to-edge glass design, and it weighs in at just over 5 pounds. You can read more at www.sharp-ppd.com. And according to a survey commissioned by Barco, bring your own device is still the wave of the future, and that's not good. The survey of 572 North American business leaders, Obstacles to Effective Business Meetings, found that we still lack effective, user-friendly tools to facilitate collaboration in meetings. While computing and AV equipment are common in meeting rooms, they don't necessarily all function together. Technical issues, especially the lack of interconnectivity among devices, are inhibiting companies from fully migrating to a digital meeting environment. According to the survey, 69% of executives continue to rely on hard copies of presentations in the typical meetings they attend. In fact, paper usage outpaced new technologies by a landslide, with only 28% of survey respondents using a presentation device to share content and 23% using a tablet. Visit Barco's website to browse the complete findings, including an executive wish list for connectivity among devices and technology. In industry transitions, Scottish audio manufacturer Linn announced today that it's establishing its own direct distribution in North America as of October 1st, 2013. North America is a vital market for Linn, contributing significantly to the brand's success in recent years. A current distributor, TC Group Americas, and Linn want to ensure a seamless transition for the dealer base, and to aid this transition, Linn will be retaining key personnel operating in both Canada and the USA. Anyway, that's the news for this week, and now on to our interview with Neil Lewis.
Well, listeners, as I mentioned earlier in the show, with me today is Neil Willis of Hypersign. Neil and I have spent a couple of days together now working on a number of clients on the Hypersign, Hypersign Alert, and Kid Gopher platforms, among them the unfortunate Sandy Hook in Newtown. And I think that that's going to become something very, very important to kid safety. But that's not why I brought Neil back here today. Actually, one of the things that I go crazy about, as I point out in a lot of my columns, is that I think that we as AV organizations have a lot to give back to the environment and the people around us. And Neil's working on a really unusual project in Africa, and I thought I'd let him tell you about it. Neil, thanks for being with us.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
So what is it that you're doing in Zimbabwe?
At the end of this month, on August 25th, I'll be leaving for several villages outside of Harare, which is the capital of Zimbabwe. And a lot of these villages do not have running water or electricity. So what we've done is me and my sweetheart Julie are going out there to work with the children inside the school environment. And I've designed a system that uses close to the size of a Pico projector, a media player, and a terabyte solid-state hard drive in order to be able to synchronize content from the Khan Academy, which are used a lot in the public school sector inside of the United States, and all run over a three-panel solar system, a solar charging system. So that one little village, we're going to duplicate it, you know, several times outside these small villages. This initial system will serve about 250 to 300 students.
So this is in a school? In a rural village in Zimbabwe.
As rural as you get.
Okay, so and yet you're taking media server technology out to a rural village in Zimbabwe.
Being a geek, it just made sense because, you know, the initial idea that they had was ship some books out here that may be recycled from years out from the public school system. And I'm like, wow, you know, by the time you ship something halfway across the world and the cost of that shipping, we could have done something inside of a logical environment that would actually probably end up educating quicker, faster, providing a higher level of interactivity, but also be a lot less expensive to deliver. You know, so that's the whole thing about what we're doing as technologists is trying to make something deliver faster, deliver quicker, but also less expensive and how it gets out there. So if I can actually train the students there to really accept this new form of communication, being the interactive video and the lessons being done like that, I really think it's going to be a great success. I'm excited.
Well, I'm a big fan of Robert Heinlein, the science fiction author, and he said that any technology sufficiently developed was indistinguishable from magic. And if you're taking this to a village that has no electricity, then they will have never seen anything like this.
A lot of them have never even seen video on a display. You know, it's not, even without electricity, that's the funny thing about electronics is we need some type of electrical current.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Okay, so it's a projection system fed by a media server powered by solar panels.
That's correct.
Okay, if you're having to power it with solar panels and they don't have electricity, let me also presume they don't have internet access.
That's correct.
How are you doing a media server in a place that has no internet access?
Well, several years ago, the school systems outside the major cities of like Harare and Bulawayo were basically, because of the economic collapse of Zimbabwe, were given to the missionary groups and ministries outside. So with this particular setup, the pastor of that church in that village will take the USB solid-state drive when he goes to the city once a week. And as soon as he plugs up, gets on his laptop, it synchronizes with my Dropbox account, which has all new education content on it. So basically every week the kids have new stuff to be able to learn from, all the way from pre-K content all the way up to college-level courses. So that's the way it's being updated, because it's a required that internet connection while it's being played across the media player.
That's fascinating. Yeah. That's great. Okay, so the highest tech form of sneaker net ever seen. How big is this village?
About 400 people.
Okay, so how many village is about? How many children in the school?
Over 200.
Okay.
So there are more children than there are adults.
How? What's the level of education in a place like that?
I'm not sure. I think we're trying to start at a really basic level, basic arithmetic. It is a British English-speaking country, which was very news to me, you know, several months ago when I learned about it, is because the British government gave it, you know, Zimbabwe their sovereignty back in the 80s after the Berlin Wall fell. So that made it a lot easier, you know, because they didn't have to learn a new language. Just have to translate from Southern to British English. So
gotcha. So, I've been to Singapore, I know.
That's right. So I'm excited about that aspect of it, that I'll be able to communicate openly with them. But also allows the Khan Academy content to really communicate with them, and they can learn from it.
What kind of subjects are you doing there?
I'm really doing a lot of focus on math.
Okay,
I really
great.
Want to. I'm a big math and
science
guy.
I wish you could
guy.
Do that here, too.
Yeah. So I'm a big math and science guy, and I really want to put focus on those type of things. And we also want to end up maybe even bringing some social side to it, too. You know, so we'll have some inspirational speakers that during the off hours of the school, we have them communicating. We have music lessons that's going to be done as well, too. You know, so, you know, because this is kind of a ministry environment, it allows them to be able to learn things about how to play the keyboard and piano and how to be able to do this through these lessons. And how to be able to have more of a, you know, church environment during off sides of the education side. So we're kind of feeding both sides, both the social / spiritual side of the individual, but also the educational side of the individual, and helping them grow.
Hey, Cisco, if you're listening, I dare you to help Neil give them internet access, too, so we can get them materials faster.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Listen, Neil, you're running a very fast-moving little company. I mean, we've spent the last couple of days together talking about the number of projects that you have going. It's insane. How does your crew feel about you doing this?
I think they almost get a little nervous when I call back the office with an update. So, you know, this is we've got Newtown schools we're looking at. Oh, now we're talking to, you know, GE or whoever it might be, you know.
And I mean, how Samsung. Do they feel about you going away to Zimbabwe while all this is going on?
We had the conversation about that, you know, sometimes when the cat away, the mice will play. So, you know, maybe they get a little, I don't think I'm that kind of micromanager, but no, they're good workers. I've really got a super, super team. And they work hard whether I'm there or whether I'm not. But I think they like for me to be able to expand using these type of things. And because I come up with new ideas all the time when we're in those environments that are challenging.
Sure.
You know, it's when those things of reform or I like to use a different word of innovation, that we're having to do more with less. And therefore, we innovate. You know, when we brought home a smaller checkbook, but we still had to have the same bills, we have to innovate.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, I think that these kind of projects actually wind up paying you back. I mean, I spent several weeks 2 years ago doing a lot of support material and video for a shelter for the homeless. And it's been one of the best experiences for me and for my people who helped me with it, because... Yeah, I know you run a small company like I do, and what happens is you wind up getting your people involved in it.
Sure, sure.
And you know, I think they had a lot of fun with it. I had a lot of fun with it. But we also learned things while doing it. I mean, we were doing video production at a level lower than we were normally working with. So as a result, we did learn to do more with less.
Right.
I mean, and we learned a lot about... You know, okay, we don't have the usual suite that we would install for editing, so let's figure out how they can do this. And this is taking that a whole nother step farther. How long are you in Zimbabwe for?
About 10 days.
Okay.
For this first trip.
Right.
I'm returning back. The plan is right now to go to Infocom in the Middle East and Africa in October and to fly from Dubai, where that show is, back to Zimbabwe. I'm wanting to start on the second phase of the project. Of actually bringing fresh water to the schoolhouse.
That's another thing. I mean, I was fortunate enough to do a little work with Habitat for Humanity. And the Carter Center, I mean, Jimmy Carter is very involved in Habitat. He's also very involved in projects with the Gates Foundation to bring safe water to parts of Africa. And I didn't realize that something like half the planet has extremely substandard or extremely unsafe water supplies. Right. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, we're so fortunate, born in America, that I did not know that there were huge parasitic diseases still borne by water in Africa. I mean, we don't think of that. We turn the tap and safe water comes out.
Sure.
And we take, I mean, even among the less affluent of us, we take those things for granted. I never seen poverty until I saw some parts of the third world. I mean, and I've been through poorer parts of the United States, and you know, we need to take action there too. But there are parts of the world that don't have access to electricity or clean water or you know, or even learning to read. And I think that's, so how are you gonna, so phase two, you're planning on going back and doing clean water for a village?
Yes.
Do you have the technology developed yet, or are you?
Well, I have a friend that actually has developed a drill. You know, he has a business that actually has a large spin wheel that kind of separates out recycled paper material inside the manufacturing facility. So several years ago, he developed, as part of one of his missionary objectives as a couple with him and his wife, this drill actually pumped out water. And to where the cost of this drill and the components were less than $400. So
to drill a well?
To the components that he would ship over there to completely do that. You know, so all I got to do is actually have a filtration system, you know, probably some type of carbon-based filtration system, and then also set up a PVC line to the schoolhouse. The initial concept is to be able to get it to the schoolhouse, you know, so once, because the schoolhouse is really the center of the activity around these villages. You know, that's where they go, you know, for maybe church services on Sunday. It's where they end up going to learn. It's where they go to meet.
So that's where the village will go to get water.
It's a lot like we were back in the colonial days.
If you think
of the Little House on the Prairie days, that's where the center of the village, of the town, was the schoolhouse. And so that is phase two of the project. I see this as being an ongoing thing. You know, first of all, providing the life essentials, you know, education. We want to be able to, like, water. We want to be able to, you know, some of the things they need to grow. But eventually I'll get to the point to where we maybe have a microwave link to Harare, the big city, which is about, this village is about 5 miles away. But when you're on foot, that's a long way. That's number two. Right? But I think probably one of the biggest victories with this whole thing is that, you know, I'm going with my sweetheart Julie, and her mom is going with us, is seeing the impact we have by going.
Sure.
It's not so much about how much we can end up serving and making a difference in somebody else's life. That's going to be awesome. But I think there's a side or a tertiary benefit of that, and it's actually how it affects us. So we come back here to the United States to where we turn on the faucet and there's clean water, just like you said. Or we open a refrigerator and there's food. Or we go down just a few miles down the street in our car.
Right, you know, in our car, to a grocery store.
Yeah, we can go at night without there being a fear of being attacked by an animal in the bush.
Yeah.
Which is a real fear, by the way. You know. So we take this for granted. And by actually spending that time with these people and getting appreciation for that, Julie's heart is to be able to make these continuous trips with either young people or even adults, you know, maybe AV professionals, and we can actually have groups over there to contribute, not necessarily their brawn, but maybe their brains, to actually say, how can we end up bringing education, how can we bring safety, you know, to these environments for these people.
And you're going with your girl. Has she been there before?
I mean, yes.
She's been to this village.
Yeah,
okay.
Not but this particular village, but has been in Zimbabwe several times and traveled. This is just one of her missions in life, is to be able to better herself.
So have you been in communication with the people in the village? Do they know what you're going to do?
The pastor over this village for several months has been communicating with me about their needs. I've proposed a system. He loved it. He fell in love with what we're doing on the education side. To my knowledge, he's communicated that to the village leaders, and they're excited about it as well. So we're going there with... I really don't want there to be rock star status, but I guess as much as you can get into a little village like that, I'd rather take more of a subdued environment or a subdued type of approach to it. But they're excited about the opportunity of what's going to happen, because I think, you know, legacy is defined about what are you leaving behind when you leave, when you're not actively involved in it.
Absolutely.
So what I want to do is I want to leave in September from this village, me and Julie and her mother. We want to leave and say, what type of impact has our 10 days worth of efforts made in these children in this village? You know, have we taught them something that actually grows beyond our efforts that were there for those 10 days? And if we can do that, you know, as biblically about either giving a fish or teaching how to fish, then what we've done is we've actually taught them how to fish, maybe a little bit.
Yep.
You know, then the next trip we go back. And I think we get to a point of sustainability with these villages, to where we start to teach them and start to provide infrastructure, to where over time they are self-supporting and sustainable. And I think that's the ultimate goal here. I think there's always going to be some type of philanthropic effort we're going to take with some, you know, of these areas in need, even locally, like a Katrina environment or a hurricane environment.
Right.
But with these foreign countries that do not have the resources or the ecosystems we have to be friendly, is to teach them how can we end up providing some infrastructure to provide some degree of sustainability. So teach them how to fish.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Neil, I wish you the best of luck with it. I mean, and someday that village will have electricity and have hypersign.
That'd be awesome.
anyway, really, I admire you for what you're doing. And for those of you out there, what I'd love to hear from all of you is, how does your AV company give back? And let me know. I'd love to talk about it on the show. And Neil, once again, thanks from all of us for what you're doing. And thanks for being with us today.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, that's all we have time for, but join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. Don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Hypersign and Atlas Sound, for helping us bring you this show. Check out some great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.